We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Give it a woo! Woo anyway. Yeah, there you go. Give it a woo anyway. Thanks, Will. Internet's down back at the Kia Studios. The lack of Led Zeppelin. But that's all right. Great pick here from Wendy. Anyway, with the jump by Van Halen. I don't have a drink to open either. So the whole 1 o'clock top of the hour routine was thrown off. Probably my fault by not getting
you're saying I'm the only one who contributed correctly?
Yeah, you're the only one that actually did what we were supposed to do to start the one. I'm still sipping my coffee somehow. I don't know how it's made it this long, but here we are at 1 o'clock, and there's still some room temperature coffee in front of me. So
I say it's an iced coffee now.
Yeah, it is. It is. My desk, for whatever reason, in the guest room, the setup that we have, it's no longer a guest room. This is the radio studio. Who knows how long it'll be a radio studio for? Probably a very long time. Has the vent right underneath it. And so when the AC comes on, which it does all the time because it's hot outside, it blows right onto my knees. So at the end of the show, my knees are freezing. My body is warm. My torso is warm. My head, sometimes I get sweaty in the middle of segments because I'm giving it 110%. Pit stains going in my shirt. I usually have to change my shirt after the show. But my knees are ice cold. It's very weird. I've got microclimates on my body.
So like where I have my mic positioned, it's in a corner of my bedroom next to my dresser, but it has me literally like facing the wall like you would be in timeout. Like that's literally what I'm doing when it comes to doing it. And again, I'm thankful as hell that it, number one, sounds as good as it does, and two, we have the technology to be able, and the folks who do our engineering are fantastic. But it's not necessarily the Kia Studios.
I was wondering, what are you just looking at the wall? Do you have a picture?
I'm literally looking right at the wall.
I was thinking about that the other day, because obviously Randy's setup is the best. He's at home in his sunroom looking out at his glorious backyard, pool, cabana, everything. It's nice. It's good to be Randy McMichael. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
Mine's okay. I'm looking out the window at least, I'm looking at my neighbor's yard. Sometimes there's squirrels or bunnies or birds, wildlife. So there's some of that to look at. I can see a parking lot of the church that's across the street. So there's humans. There's something to see. I don't know what I would. I think I would get very bored looking at a wall.
For a while, I had a headset and I could turn around. But then as you heard the other day, the headset I think has a short net, so I had to switch back to a stick mic. And the stick mic is literally just kind of nestled in the corner. That's got a windscreen around it and a bunch of Atlanta United scarves and. Yeah, that's basically what it is looking at right now.
So there you have it. That's what we're looking at. I know people were thinking, I wonder what Bunk and Will are looking at while they're doing the show. There you have it. Now you know. Willie P in for Randy Mac. Randy Mac be back on Friday. Willie P hanging out all week until then. Final hour for us here on a hump day Wednesday. Never too early to get your AMA questions in. Ask me anything. And again, these are the final two AMAs with Will this week. So you got some weird questions for Will. Today is as good a time as any. We'll get there at 1:40. Send them to the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 or on Twitter at Willie P. Style, at TBM929, at Wendy Radio, or at Brian_Gebhardt. And while you're at it, give Wendy a follow on Instagram, at Wendy Radio. I have failed to promote her Instagram today, but I did it there. Follow Wendy on Instagram. Excellent content. Let's get to what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, Time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah, I think that's the most frustrating part about it. Is, I mean, even over those first two innings, I don't think I threw any more than five balls. I think those first two innings, I was just really athletic, and I, you know, trusted what I had been working on so much, and I just attacked the hitters. And in the third inning, I felt like I still did that, but once those runners got on base, I kind of sped up a little bit, lost grip, and then, you know, was too worried about the things I shouldn't be worried about.
Yeah, Kyle Wright describing his outing last night. He loses. He goes 2 2/3, was great for two innings, was really bad for 2/3 of an inning, and comes out of the game before ending the third. Braves lose 5-2, and they've now lost a couple games in a row, and they've lost them in ways that we worried they may lose them. Their starting pitching hasn't been very good because the back end of their rotation isn't very good. So bad, in fact, that Mike Foltynewicz is no longer on the team, at least currently. Maybe he'll end up back on the team eventually, but I have a hard time believing it. Kyle Wright is going to be on this team, and Kyle Wright's going to be in the rotation. Like, I don't know how many more bad starts Kyle Wright would have to be out of the rotation, but he's going to be in it for a while. So hopefully whatever happened last night, he can learn from it. Sounds like he did. But we've talked about this a number of times today, Will. He looked like a young pitcher, which he is. And for whatever reason, he went away from what was working. Hopefully next time he won't do that, because his stuff, he's got great stuff. And his stuff was sharp early in the game yesterday. The frustrating thing is, and I know that all Braves fans are feeling this, is in a condensed season, learning experiences are a really big deal. Last night was a learning experience for him, but it's also a loss in a 60-game season. So, you know, hopefully he's able to learn quickly, because games are 2.7 times more valuable. Hopefully learning experiences can be 2.7 times more fast.
Yeah, it's funny how yesterday we spent a whole bunch of time talking about Mike Foltynewicz and the, quote, stuff that wasn't there. It was there for Kyle Wright. It was definitely there in the first two innings. We saw a fastball with movement. We saw his secondary pitches working well. And then we saw a guy who just doesn't have a lot of big league experience under his belt and hasn't really seen that positive big league experience either. Like, I think that's the other point right now that you have to look at for Kyle Wright is just confidence. And that's the other, I think, unfortunate casualty is that, you know, if this was a different type of season, then maybe you don't feel like you have to start the season with Kyle Wright, and maybe he does start at AAA, build some confidence, and then gets his 2020 major league debut under the belt, unlike what he did last year, where he started the season with the big club and just got shelled in four games and got sent down to Gwinnett. Like, that's the part of this that I feel like is so unfair for a lot of young pitchers who are going to be graded on a much different curve than they would have in a normal season.
Yeah, absolutely. In a normal season, it's, all right, he's young, he'll learn from it, throw him out there 5 days later, and hopefully he's a little bit better, incrementally better. And then by midseason, we're comfortable with him and he's confident. It's different. I mean, we know this. Beating a dead horse with how short the season is and how much more vital every little moment is, hopefully he's able to do all these things quickly. I know that now he has struggles on his resume. Like, Kyle Wright should be more familiar with getting into jams and working his way out of them.
Right.
Having a bad outing and having to bounce back. I remember when we were at spring training a couple years ago, he started one of the games that we were at against the Red Sox and kind of had a similar outing to what he did yesterday. Got off to a really good start, got himself into a jam, but then worked his way out of it and then ended up having a really good day. And I remember I asked him after the game, I said, you know, was it almost in a way, and this is me always trying to find a silver lining, I guess, I said, is it in a way good for you as a young pitcher to maybe face a little adversity and find a way out of it? And he said, yeah, because in college and in my way up through the minors, I didn't really face that much of it. I was better than everybody. I was able to get out there and just let my stuff do its talking. You get into the big leagues and guys know how to deal with that kind of stuff. Now, again, that was two spring trainings ago. So now he's actually had some of those trials and tribulations. Hopefully what happened yesterday is enough to remind him, just stick with the strength, man. Throw your fastball to set guys up and get them out. And we'll see him in 5 days. In like 5 hours, we're going to see Mike Soroka. And that's good news because the Braves have lost two games in a row. And, you know, in a shortened season, two games in a row is a bigger deal. They're back at home for the first time this season tonight as well. Again, against the Rays, who they dropped both games to down there in Florida. And, I mean, it's not a must win. Like, they're 2-3 right now. But this is what number one pitchers do. This is what aces of staffs do. They go out after you've had a couple bad outings, and they throw a gem. And hopefully that's what Mike Soroka is able to do tonight. Let's hear from Bob Nightingale from USA Today, who is telling us maybe why the Marlins had players test positive.
I think a couple of guys went out in Atlanta. So that's what happened. It wasn't like, I don't think it was any kind of fluke, like, oh, I got it from the bus driver or pilot or something like that. I believe some guys got careless. At least one guy did for sure and went out. And I think they came back positive and spread around.
So, again, that's Bob Nightingale, baseball journalist from USA Today, confirming that a Marlins player, at least one, if not more, went out when they were here in Atlanta last week to play the Braves in those exhibition games and very likely contracted the coronavirus, which isn't surprising because that's why they don't want people to go out. It also kind of doubles down on the point that no other team have had positive tests from players or team employees in the last 11 days. The Marlins are literally the only team in Major League Baseball who have had positives. And that's really frustrating. I know the reaction on Monday morning when we found out that the Marlins had positives was from a lot of people, oh, shut down baseball. You're not going to be able to do it outside of a bubble. No, it looks like you can if people are responsible. The Marlins were just irresponsible, which is really, really frustrating.
I feel like this absolves Rob Manfred of some of the vitriol he's gotten over the past couple of days. But I want to stop short about absolving him of all of it, because they still played a game on Sunday, and they were still allowed to play a game on Sunday given the rising of the tests and the eschewing of the protocols. And the other, again, I would say, fallacy that exists in baseball, whereas they are protocols and not rules with actionable consequence. Like, that's, I'm happy. Believe me, no one's rooting for tests. And I want to, again, get out in front of that. Like, we're not rooting for this to fail. We want this to work. It's part of our livelihood. We want baseball to be played. We want it to be played safely. We want players to be able to be on the field and be in an environment that they're comfortable. That's 100%, I think, the goal of what I think everybody wants to see. But when we see it working in some leagues a certain way, and when you see positive tests pop up in this league, that's where I think the outrage comes from a lot of people.
Yeah, sure. And the fact that the protocol technically did allow for the Marlins to make the decision that they made on Sunday, that's the problem. That's where Rob Manfred doesn't get to skate with other teams not having positives, is what the Marlins did technically was within the rules that were put forth by Major League Baseball.
Which is ludicrous.
The fact that there's no third medical party that stands between players toughing it out and getting on the field because they want to play, and someone saying, no, you can't, man, don't go out there. Like, you guys have a lot of positive tests. You might have more positive tests. If you infect the other team, then this thing spreads through the league. We might have to shut things down. That's bad. Now, I don't know. Can they retroactively throw something into the agreement so this doesn't happen again? Or is it enough of a scare that other teams will say, oh, we saw what the Marlins did, we better be careful? Here's the thing. Other teams didn't need to see what the Marlins did to be careful, and the Braves are a prime example. The Braves didn't even need Tyler Flowers and Travis d'Arnaud to test positive to pull them out of the lineup. They just didn't feel good, so they quarantined them and kept them home. The good news is those two catchers are likely going to be able to rejoin the Braves this homestand. But the Braves got in front of it the way that you're supposed to, the way that you're supposed to be responsible with this thing. This is a Marlins problem. I know baseball allowed it to happen by having gray area in their protocol, but this gray area doesn't seem that gray. Like, the Marlins did something really silly and irresponsible, and they're paying for it right now. Hopefully no one else does, and no one else has. So,
just like Lions linebacker Jamie Collins said it best, don't mess with our money.
Just be smart. You have to be. Dan Quinn said it yesterday. You have to be the best teammate you've ever been, and that's what it takes. Everyone has to do it if you want these leagues to actually have it, especially outside of bubbles. you have to be as responsible as you've ever been. Because we want them to play, right? They want to play. We want them to play. Fans watch games. Like, we all want this to happen. Speaking of Dan Quinn, here he is from yesterday talking about the absence of preseason.
Yeah, one size does not fit all, but you're right to say you want to make sure that every single person that you're dealing with any guidelines that need to, and the other thing, people in their home, you know, it could be a spouse or a child or aunt, uncle, or grandparent. So all factors are considered, and like most things, you know, have the honest conversation of where you're at and if there's any concerns to go. As far as the medical one goes, that's definitely dictated by the doctors and protocols, you know, like regarding Caleb. But yeah, anybody that had any concerns, medically or not, I wanted to make sure we had honest communications, because I think not football side, just, you know, like human being, you wanted to make sure you had those good conversations.
He did also talk about the absence of preseason games and how vital it's going to be for rookies to go up against veterans. The good news is, if you think about the matchups that the rookies need to get ready for the season, they're going up against some pretty talented players. You know, the first round draft pick is a corner, so he can practice against Julio and Calvin Ridley. Matt Hennessy could practice against Grady Jarrett. You brought up a great point earlier with Marlon Davidson being able to practice against Alex Mack. Hopefully that's enough, because they're not going to get actual game reps until the season begins.
Yeah, you can't necessarily simulate what a game is going to look like, but you can get as much preparation against quality players, and that's the one thing the Falcons have, is that they have quality players on the opposite side of all those key rookies.
Yeah, the thing is this. Every team is dealing with the same situation. There's no preseason for anybody. Hopefully the Falcons, with continuity being a big talking point in the offseason, are able to deal with this weird lead up to the year better than other teams. Hopefully Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Matt Ryan and guys that have been on the team that are talented can help the guys that are new, and talent will win out. But there's no excuse. Like, the weird offseason is no excuse, because everyone's dealing with it. The pressure is as high as it would be otherwise. And, you know, hopefully they win.
It's going to be raggedy, though. No question about it.
Yes, the first few weeks of football are going to be very bad. There's no, just, that's okay. Win bad games. There's nothing wrong with that. We'll come back. We'll get to Jason Longshore. Speaking of raggedy, Atlanta United was in Orlando, and then Frank DeBoer got canned. We haven't talked to Jason since then. We will, coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The world of sports has changed, and when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally, in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
20 minutes away from the AMA to wrap things up here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, and we can use AMA questions. I mean, as always, we'd like them, but we don't have a lot. So I'll resort to begging. I'm not afraid to do that. Please. Please.
It's begging time, is it not?
It is. It's begging time. We've gotten there. We don't have that. I don't have any on Twitter. Wendy said I need to solicit again, which is Wendy's nice way of saying we don't have any on the text line either. So please, please send us AMA questions. We'll answer them, anything. I mean, it's any question. It could even kind of be a statement that's close to a question, and we'll turn it into a question and answer it. We're willing to do that. We will make that adjustment for you. We'll get there 20 minutes from now, as we always do at 1:40 to close the
question,
show out.
You can make a question out of anything, yeah?
You can. You pretty much can. You can answer a question with a question if you want to be rude, like if you want to mess with somebody. That's always a fun way to go about things. Somebody asks you a question, then you respond with a question, then they respond with a question, and then before you know it, you're arguing. So last week, Jason Longshore was in with us Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It was great. It was fun hanging out with Jason. It was unfortunate that Wednesday basically was the deconstruction of what went wrong with Atlanta United down in Orlando. But what was really frustrating, Jason, was that I think it was literally 1 minute after our show ended on Friday, Atlanta United made the announcement that they were parting ways with Frank DeBoer, and it would have been pretty nice to break that breaking news down with you. Well, here we are a few days later, and now I know you've had a lot of time to react to it and think about it. What was your reaction in that moment at like 2:02 on Friday afternoon when the news broke? Well, how did you react to the DeBoer news?
To be fair, it might have been about 2:10, maybe.
Okay, so it was 10 minutes.
It was enough time for me to get to my car and check Twitter before I started moving, and then send a text to Mike Conti with four-letter words in it. Because I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. And like you said, you know, it kind of would have been nice if it had been maybe at least 30 minutes earlier. That would have been
nice.
Fun.
It would have been nice.
Yeah, it's Mark, odd, Jason. Mark, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Will.
No, you go ahead and give your reaction.
Yeah, just my reaction to it. I was surprised. It's not surprise in that, you know, there wasn't a seat that had gotten hot. The performance was added in Orlando. Like, questions were not a surprise. I didn't expect the timing of it, and I don't think really anybody else did either. You know, from everything we've heard since, it was a conversation and a decision that was reached on Friday and put into place really quickly. And if that's the decision, that it's not going to get better, and it was, you know, reported from the club as a mutually agreed upon decision, if you don't see the pathway forward, then you've got to make the change, and you've got to make it now, and you've got to start to build for what's next.
So it's your supposition, Jason, that mutual, again, we know nothing really truly is mutual, but you do think this was more initiated by the club than it was by Frank?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think the questions about where things are going and where the performance, you know, was or where it was lacking in Orlando would have come from the club, sure. And if that leads to the decision that you get to, then that's where you're at. You see it in the game around the world all the time where, you know, that happens and you have a dip in form, you have a bad run of games, whatever causes the conversation to be had. And both sides come to the conclusion that it's not working like this and it's not going to get better. And that's, I'm assuming, what happened here. The direction, and it's something Darren Eales has said both to Doug Robertson at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he said the same to Carl and Mike earlier this week on Dukes and Bell, the direction of travel, you know, where it was headed wasn't what they liked. And if there wasn't a plan to change that, then you have to make a change.
Jason Longshore joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on the WadeFord.com hotline. Haven't had a chance to talk to Jason. I know you guys have done a couple emergency stoppage time Facebook Lives, understandably. But our first chance to talk to you since the Frank DeBoer news came out. I mean, it was always going to be hard for anybody, no matter who they were, to come after Tata Martino. Like, you don't want to replace the legend. And I don't know that maybe he's a legend, two years, but he won a championship. So following that was always going to be tough. Now that the Frank DeBoer era is over, like, how do you think of it? And maybe it'll be different 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, depending on what happens from here. But like, what is the Tata Martino era is what it is. It's very, very good. What was the Frank DeBoer era?
That's what's so weird about it is that I think in 5 years, it will be looked at differently than it was, you know, right now. Mm-hmm. I think that's a definite, because when you look at it on paper and you get away from the emotion of it, you don't have the MLS Cup that Tata Martino earned, but you do have other trophies. You have a number of wins, and you were very close. And that's, if I had to sum it up in one word, incomplete. Like, it didn't quite get there.
Yeah.
I think where we saw that it could get, where we saw it for fleeting moments, maybe a game here, a game there, a week or two here, a week or two there, where it's like, okay, this is heading in a really strong direction. This is a team that can win MLS Cup, and I thought they were last season. But they didn't quite get there. And then 2020 is a whole different animal. I mean, we're going to look back at this year in sports and really, you know, maybe not understand it in 5, 10 years and not be able to put ourselves back to it, because you look at what the clubs had to deal with, you know, a tricky schedule to begin with CONCACAF, with the stoppage of play, with trying to incorporate a lot of new faces. It's the worst time possible to do that. And then you lose Joseph Martinez and you're trying to fix that on the fly as well. A lot of things made it more difficult, and you had those good results, but you also had that undercurrent of a relationship between the players and the technical staff that just never seemed to fully click. And that's the biggest difference between the Tata Martino era. That had a different feel to it than this one did.
when we get closer to being on the pitch again, I think we can ask what the immediate impact of Steven Glass will be. But as far as the profile of the next Atlanta United permanent manager, what is that profile? Is it a South American manager? Is that a prerequisite? What do you think is the profile of what Darren and Carlos are looking for?
I don't think it's where they're from. I mean, can that help with building chemistry? Sure, it definitely can. But it's about that chemistry. The talent's there. This team has talent. This team will always go out and find more talent if they ever need to. This team will never be one that you look at and say, well, they don't have enough to compete here. Injuries can change that, of course, but in general, this is going to be a team that will be able to compete with anybody. So it's about that chemistry, and that's one of the hardest things to get to. It's one of the hardest things to build. With Steven Glass, he actually comes in with a huge advantage over what Frank DeBoer had because he knows this group. He knows these players. You know, having worked with Atlanta United, too, for a year and a half now, he's had players go from his squad up to the first team. He's also interacted with the first team on numerous occasions when they train, when they scrimmage against one another. So he knows how the group is. He knows what it feels like. So he's going to be able to come in and manage the group accordingly. That's going to help him in the short run. But chemistry, for me, is the number one thing, and it was the number one thing that was lacking under Frank DeBoer.
Jason Longshore joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy again, reacting to the Frank DeBoer news and trying to spin it forward as far as what it looks like with Steven Glass in charge and whenever Atlanta United gets a chance to play again. And then what they do to permanently replace and find a new manager. I feel like there's always going to be that external pressure from fans to want to do something big, right? To make a bold statement and go out and get the big manager and say, all right, we didn't get it right with DeBoer or didn't work out with DeBoer, but here we are with this guy. Do you feel like Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra should feel that type of pressure? Like, should there be that type of pressure on them to make a splash and remind people, yeah, Atlanta United really is still a player globally?
No, I don't think there should be that pressure. I'm with you. I think there is that feel that you've got to make a splash. I think Atlanta United's established. I think the questions about, you know, okay, you have to have a big-name manager to get people's attention worldwide, I don't think that's the case. You need the right fit. You need the right manager. And you could go so many different directions right now, and that's what makes this so fascinating because – you know, one, we don't know the timelines. Timelines are not typical right now. I mean, just getting people into the country is not going to be typical right now. So what does the interview process look like? You know, who is interested or who is not interested because of COVID-19 and how that's going? There's a lot of variables that are just hard to predict, but you've got to get the right guy. And I think you've got time. I think you have somebody in Steven Glass who will right the ship in the short term. And you've got time to make a longer-term decision. And big name is even a hard thing to quantify because you could go big name as an individual, whether they built that big name as a former player. You could go big name as a manager who has won a lot of trophies. There's a lot of different ways you could go, but the fit has to be right. And for the good things that Frank DeBoer did for this club, and there's quite a few. I mean, Miles Robinson's development, bringing George Bello through injury slowed that down, but having that commitment to playing young players, promoting players from within, those are things that we're going to remember the Frank DeBoer era for, but that fit always seemed to be a struggle, and that's the thing you have to get right with the next hire.
Jason, before we let you run, we saw that you also ordered wings from Magic City.
I did.
First off, nicely done. Second off, quick review.
Amazing. It's been a while since I've had wings just in general. I just haven't had wings during the pandemic, so it's been a minute. Maybe it's because they're, you know, I was just so excited to have wings. Best I've had. Amazing.
Ever in your life?
Yes. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Lou Will flavor, which I'd never had before.
Good for
the barbecue and lemon pepper. Amazing.
Now, did you go down there and get them, or did you have them delivered?
Had them delivered.
Okay.
You know,
right.
trying to be safe, trying to be smart, and they've got delivery options now.
Got it.
The one thing I'll tell you, if you're going to do the delivery, have some patience because they are very, very busy right now.
That's what Willie P said. All right, Jason, we appreciate it, man. thanks so much for the analysis, as always. Glad you enjoyed the wings. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, y'all.
Jason Longshore there. Great stuff about Frank DeBoer and where Atlanta United goes from here. We will come back and answer your questions, and thank you for responding. My begging worked. AMA coming up next to close the show out. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Ask and you shall receive. Again, I appreciate everybody sending in the AMA questions after we begged for them before we talked to Jason Longshore. We got a lot of good ones, both on Twitter and the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. So let's just jump right in, Will. Here's one from BJ. If a player opts out before or during the season, should they receive a championship ring and be rewarded if the team goes all the way? So if a player decides they're not going to do it, maybe even midseason, they decide they're not going to do it, should they get a ring at the end of the year?
I feel like if you've played a representative amount of games, you should get a ring.
Yeah, like if you, like, you're on the team, because sometimes if you get traded midseason, they'll give you a ring anyway.
Yeah.
Like, because you were a part of the team, you get a ring, you got traded. Like, for the Braves' sake, do Felix and Nick Markakis get rings if the Braves win the World Series this year?
I think that's also a different thing, too, because Markakis was so, you know, was a tenured guy with this organization. Felix was just here for 5 minutes.
I know. Felix never played in an actual game. He did put a Braves uniform on a couple times and play in spring training, and he was good. His ERA was sub-2, Will. He was going to be a difference maker in the rotation. And then he opted out because he's got $200 million in his bank account. No, I don't think they should. If you're not on the roster when the season starts, I don't think you should get a championship ring. Even Nick Markakis, who's been a part of the franchise. If they win the World Series, I don't think Cakes should get a championship ring. Would you rather have your AC go out in the middle of the summer or your heat go out in the middle of the winter?
Again, I'd rather be hot than cold. So
I'm the opposite.
I'd rather try to figure it out without AC.
I'm the opposite. Especially in Atlanta. Like, to not have AC right now would be... I don't know, there's probably people listening that don't have it. Like, I don't know how you do it. Not being from here, I guess, I will never acclimate to this heat. It will always be a struggle.
Like, you know, I lived in Singapore for 3.5 years. Very difficult. And that was humidity. That was major league humidity.
Even more so than Atlanta, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, much. I couldn't do it. I don't know that I could do that. Like, in the wintertime, and I don't like being cold either. Like, I'm soft. I'm from a very temperate part of the world. It doesn't get that cold. It never snows. Doesn't get that hot. It's rarely above 80 in Seattle. We're right there in the middle. But I can put a coat on. I can put a scarf on. I can put wool socks on. In the heat, you can only get so naked. And I'm also very hairy, so there's only so much I can do. Are you the big spoon or are you the little spoon?
We share the responsibility.
Yeah, we'll flip back and forth. Like, I'm the big spoon for the most part. I'm the big spoon now. Like, I can't. My spoon's got a big dent in the front of it. Right. Ashley is very pregnant. Like, she can't big. But you know, sometimes it's okay to be held. I'm not too man to admit that. I like to be held sometimes.
She's 6 feet tall, so I mean, there's ample opportunity for us to do both.
What was your favorite gaming console as a kid?
PS3, I would say, or PS2, I guess would be more the equivalent there. PS2, just because I was young enough as a kid to appreciate PS2.
That's always one that kind of outs us for our age, right? Yeah. Like, if PS2 was when you were a kid, you're not very old. Like, my answer is Super Nintendo, and people will probably say, you're not very old. But, I mean, you could put a Super Nintendo in front of me now with just Super Mario Brothers, the first one that came out with the console with Yoshi. I play that game all day long. The baseball MLB PA 94 was my favorite baseball game, or Ken Griffey Jr. baseball. You give me like those two or three games and I'll be happy for an entire weekend. I'm still obsessed with those games.
I was a Sega Genesis guy though too. I love Sega Genesis. And I also love Game Gear.
Do you have a favorite tree? And if so, what is your favorite tree?
Like a Christmas tree, like something like that. I like Christmas trees. Well, big fan of real Christmas trees.
There's different types of Christmas trees.
Whatever, a Douglas fir. How about that? A Douglas fir Christmas tree.
I'm a fan of the Douglas fir. I've got various different favorite trees in different regions of the country. My favorite tree in this area is the live oak. I love a southern live oak. They're beautiful. We've got them around here that are so old, especially if you go get out on the coast in Savannah and Charleston, you can go see hundreds of years old trees, which are just so much fun. The giant sequoia on the West Coast is unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about trees that are thousands of years old. And so huge. I mean, unbelievably huge, those redwood forests. But my favorite tree, if I had to pick one tree above all else, is the Western Red Cedar. The Western Red Cedar is what most canoes are made out of. If you're making a canoe out of wood, the bark and the wood of a Western Red Cedar has so many different chemical properties that were used by the Native Americans for medicine. They ward off any problems that a tree could have, like any sicknesses, illnesses that a tree could have. That's my favorite tree if I had to pick one individual tree. Not surprisingly, I had a thorough answer when it came to trees.
There's actually a tree that's about a half hour outside of where I went to college. It's one of the largest bur oaks in the country. It's in McBain, Missouri. It's a McBain bur oak, and that's one that people literally drive to go see that tree. It's so cute.
I would love to see that tree. I would love to see that tree someday. Topanga or Kelly Kapowski?
Ooh, that's tough. See, I liked both. Why do I have to choose? I feel like I fell sooner for Kelly Kapowski, but fell harder for Topanga.
Okay. That's not an answer. I'm going to make you answer the question. Answer the question.
It's not Topanga. Which one do you like more? Damn it, Topanga.
Yeah, Topanga's the answer that a grown-up gives. Kelly Kapowski was who we liked when we were kids. Yeah. And then we got older and we understood, the voluptuous curves of a woman, the yams, if you will. Topanga's the correct answer. Let's get over to Brian and some questions from the text line. Hi, Brian.
If you had a theme song come on anytime you walked in anywhere, what would it be?
Public a service announcement by Jay-Z or next episode.
Solid. Probably So Fresh and So Clean by Outkast. Let's walk into a room with that song playing. It's hard not to feel good about yourself then.
Yeah, both good choices. What's the nicest thing you've ever done for yourself?
Whew. Wow. I bought myself a Scotty Cameron a few years ago. It's a putter for people that don't play golf.
Ooh, yeah, that's nice.
And I still use it to this day. Not to say that it helps that much. Boy, I had some bad putts yesterday. If I could putt like Brian Gebhardt can putt. Like, because I hit the ball good, and I made some okay putts. But if I could putt, that's the thing that I'm envious about Brian's game. He is a very, very good putter. I put the money in and bought myself a Scotty Cameron about 10 years ago, and I haven't regretted it. It's been very nice. I treated myself that way.
I know some people think that sunglasses are a frivolous purchase if you try to go and get, like, designer expensive sunglasses.
Yeah.
But the first time I got a big bonus, I bought myself a nice, really awesome, like, designer pair of sunglasses, and I'm like, okay, this is why those things are cool.
And do you still have them?
I don't. I lost them in the ocean.
See, because that's my problem with sunglasses. I love a nice pair of sunglasses, but I always lose them. I'm going to lose them. The more expensive they are, the faster I'm going to lose sunglasses.
I had a pair of sunglasses break in the terminal on the way to Cabo. Like, that
How'd
was
break?
The... They dropped off the top of my head. Dropped off the top of my head, and they just broke in half. And everything shattered.
I have to get, like, so my face is wide. So oftentimes sunglasses,
really?
Yeah. When I put sunglasses on, the part, what's the part that goes back behind your ears? Does that have a name? Like the, I don't know, whatever that part is. It has to, like, stretch out a little bit. And it puts a lot of pressure on the middle of the sunglass between the lenses. And if I'm able to keep a pair of sunglasses long enough without losing them, inevitably the mid part of the sunglass between the lens is going to crack because I'm putting pressure on it every single time that I'm wearing them. So that's why I buy, you know, a $12.99 pair of sunglasses from QT, because I'm either going to lose it or break it over time. But man, it is nice. The one other thing we did one time was when our car was in the shop, we rented a Mercedes. Ooh. I had never driven a Mercedes before. It's worth it. I understand why people spend a lot of money on fancy cars. It was a very different experience.
When you go to the beach, do you actually swim in the ocean?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I do. I do, yeah. I understand that people are scared of ocean life, and I get that. Ocean life can be scary. I'm more scared of the tide than anything.
Yeah.
Like, you got to approach the ocean with respect, because it'll, you know, it'll get you if you're not careful. So, yeah, I love swimming in the ocean, but you got to be very safe.
I won't go past a certain point. Like, I won't go past, like, my belly button or my chest. That's about it.
I'll get out there if I got like a flotation device or a surfboard or something like that, and then you feel a little bit safer. But yeah, I mean, the ocean is no joke. Like, you gotta treat it with the respect that it deserves. Let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements
on Andy and Randy Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Clint Collins asks, Lily's birth or a round of golf at Augusta with Tiger? That's my first baby, man. Like, I'd like to play golf with Tiger, but what's the option? Like, if I play golf with Tiger, then what? Then Lily never gets born? Like, come on, you can't do that one. Taking Lily's birth. We're a couple weeks away from that, by the way. All right, we start with Wendy Adams, as always, on takeaways of the day. What did you learn today, Wendy?
I've got two takeaways today. All grown men are welcome in Andy's DMs, just to let you know, fellas. And Andy has sweaty pits and cold knees.
It's true. Both those things are true. Will, what about you? Takeaway of the day?
You and I are of one mind. Anti-white condiments on buffalo wings.
I love ranch dressing. I just don't need it on my wings. I'll put it on other stuff, just not my wings. I learned today that when it comes to a wing, Willie P likes a sturdy bone.
Facts.
That's the only way he likes his wing, with a good sturdy bone. What about you, Brian?
Willie P doesn't have Instagram. Andy says when it's hot out, you can only get so naked. And don't sleep on the western red cedar. I'll take a good weeping willow, though.
Oh, weeping willow, also a very pretty tree. What about you, Wendy? Favorite tree?
The weeping willow would have been my tree. I just wanted like a driveway lined with those because they're so pretty.
They're so pretty. They're a wonderful tree. All right, we'll come back tomorrow at 10 a.m. and do another show. Have a great Wednesday afternoon. Talk to you guys then.
I need that big bone.
Watch out now!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.